My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to have you with us again. Us being, apart from me, John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. First for the question is John. A reference, John, in a musical magazine made me wonder whether you could identify this ending to a musical piece. What it is, John?
Organ concerto?
Yes.
Or piece with organ in it?
I'm going to tell you, because I've been looking forward to telling you ever since I read this up. It was an article by you, John, in which you described going to some festival, and you wrote, I couldn't place the piece at all, which turned out to be, so-and-so, a perfect piece of quiz fodder, you wrote.
Placed on your own thing, maybe.
It was a concert at a place called Greggy Nog.
Was it?
An organ composer, Stanley Reinberger.
He's one across in all the musical crossword puzzles. Yes.
Reinberger.
His second organ concerto. Mm-hmm. Frank, this lady, Arlene Huger, is singing in the German tongue, but you may know the composer, and you certainly will know who wrote the words in about 1610.
I don't know the lady, but I know the lyric writer, not personally. but it's Mr. Shakespeare.
Yes.
A much underrated playwright.
Indeed.
Might say.
Indeed, yes, absolutely.
And it's Arc, Arc the Lark.
Arc, the Lark. Would it be fair to ask you which play it came in?
No.
Would it be fair?
Not Without Another Mark.
Pardon?
Not Without Another Mark.
Oh, yeah, the Mark. Yes, any time.
Where does it come from? Well, they're sort of indiscriminately scared,
aren't
they? What's your story?
We'll ask the entire audience, which play does that come from? Of course you don't know.
Cymbeline?
Neville Cymbeline.
Yeah. Cymbeline is right, yes. Mm-hmm. Ian, what begins like this? Ends like this. With this in the middle.
Saved by the Barcarolle.
Yeah. Yes.
The Tales of Hoffmann.
Yes. By
Offenbach.
Yes. Remember the very old joke, better Offenbach than Bach often, they used to say. Oh, it was new to somebody, that one.
I don't understand that joke. Explain it to us.
Dennis, a two-part question for you. First, please, what sort of film is this? Sort of film, obviously.
Well, off the top of your head, a big budget film to start.
Yes. I want to quote to you from the film's publicity. More vast than the mind of urban man can conceive, the infinite plains still beat with the pulse of frontier adventure, as did the Chisholm Trail when the first longhorns thundered eastward to market.
It could be Abbott and Costello in Ridham County. But I would think it's one of the big budget, but I can't think which. I don't know which one.
Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, James Dean.
Oh, well, then it'll be Giant.
That's right. And the music by Dmitri Tiomkin.
Do you know that marvellous story? I think it's the best Oscar acceptance speech and the most unusual.
But Tiomkin?
Yes, Tiomkin. Yeah. When he got an Oscar, he said, I'd like to thank Scriabin, Rimsky-Korsakov, Brahms, Richard Strauss. And apparently, I think it must have been so long ago, it was just on radio, you could hear the voice of the MC, which was Bob Hope, saying, "You'll never get on this program again!"
Do you know the follow-up to that story?
No,
well,
tell me.
It caused a great deal of trouble among the other Hollywood composers.
I'll bet.
And one called Franz Waxman, who was also quite an eminent composer of music, said to him one day, "You know, why did you have to do that and make fools of us all and sort of give the game away?" And apparently Tiomkin said to him, "I don't know why you are so upset, Franz. I've never heard the influence of those great composers in your music."
That's lovely. Yeah. This is a singer I adore, but in a kind of singing I don't care for. It's Ella Fitzgerald, scat singing. Well, John, can you give me an example of scat singing from an opera?
Well, Porgy and Bess.
Yes.
Scaddy-wah. But, I mean, lots of those Rossini things have a kind of scat singing, don't they?
Yes, they kind of.
I mean, the sort of patter songs.
They forget the words.
Well, exactly. I was just going to say, when Peter Pears forgot the words, which he often did, he used to sing sort of practically anything.
Oh, Peter Grimes, yes, but...
No, he never forgot the word Peter Grimes.
I was thinking of "It Ain't Necessarily So," which, of course, you quoted from Porgy and Bess. Frank, I wonder if you can place this from a song. "I get 200 for dinner at 8.
Yes.
Can you?
Yes. That's very clever of you. Where'd you get that?
I picked that up from something I read. Yes.
There's a journalist, a very good journalist, called Geoffrey Wheatcroft.
Yes.
Married my daughter. Yes. Right. June 1990. Mm. And then in July, somebody wrote a misprint. I didn't actually read it. In the Listener, in the Spectator. Who said, "I get 200 for dinner at 8.
Yes.
And he replied. But in fact, of course, he had his wedding breakfast in July. And it sort of made sense. I mean, he had 200 for luncheon at 2.
Yeah. You should know. Yeah. It's your daughter he married. Ian, what begins with a Mantuan feast and ends with a curse? And in which period?
An opera.
Mm.
Begins with a feast.
Yes, ends with a
and
curse.
And ends with a curse.
Maledizione. Yes.
I would put quite a lot of money on Rigoletto.
You would be right. And the period in which the story is set?
When I sang in it, we wore these sort of breeches and those sort of... I don't know how you describe this, sort of hose and, and sort of page boy. It's a sort of...
60s.
Sort of Renaissance.
You'd settle for the Renaissance, so would I. Good. I had a sweet letter in from Anna Zaharova of Wanstead. Many years ago, she wrote, she was aged 7. I was visiting an aunt who put on a record of La Donna Immobile. I said, in great excitement, "Oh, my daddy whistles that. I wish I knew what it's called." "I know," said my 5-year-old cousin. "It's called Read a Letter." Dennis, on another type of music altogether, as you might not be surprised to learn.
I always get another type of music altogether.
Yes. No, they do.
Yes.
There are various correct answers to this question, Dennis, but I suspect your reply will be just one word. How old is Mandy?
Mandy is two. You'd be surprised at all the things she can do.
Yes. But there was Irving Berlin's Mandy as well. There's a Minister Handy.
Yeah, that was, what, 1919 roundabout?
1919, yeah. That's yeah. Right. There's Mandy Make Up Your Mind and Barry Manilow's Mandy.
Hmm.
You know what happens with my piano medleys? There are four tunes for each side to name. Here we go.
Wasn't it? I mean, when did you move over to them?
The first tune was only one chord, one bar long, actually.
That was the pathetic Sonata of Beethoven.
Yes, it was a bit,
played very
it?
Pathetically.
Yes. And then came...
Bessami Mucho.
Bessami Mucho, thank you. Doing well, and then...
Well, that's John's department. But
no, it's not really. It's between the two of you, actually. That you didn't get that. That was so you lost half an hour there. Any Time's Kissing Time, that was... Then came
Caro Nome.
Thank you. From
Rigoletto.
Rigoletto. Now over to the other side.
Remember you're a plum. Come. Remember you're a plum.
Well, I didn't know that.
Here comes the bogeyman. That's two notes.
Different song.
Here comes the bogeyman. Yeah.
Then seamlessly into Ian.
On the Road to Mandalay.
Thank you. Yes, you've heard that one before.
Yes.
Next one.
Ship Ahoy
is the correct title.
All the nine scars.
And the very last one?
Stately Homes of England.
Stately Homes of England. Got it. Right. Time for a celebration. That's a touch of Bristol's Surprise Maximus, and certainly our pleasure, Maximus. Let me explain. I have to announce the very pleasant news that one of our number has received an honorary doctorate and is now a Doctor of Music. The question, of course, is which of us? There are six people on this stage, in alphabetical order. John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, me, Steve Race, Ian Wallace. We also have our delightful, as well as musically clued-up scorer, Anne Ling, and not quite on stage, but present is our producer, Richard Edis. So, which of us is now a D. Mus, a Doctor of Music?
How Ding could have
John.
Kept it for
Oh,
me.
I think it must be Dennis Moore.
Well, of course. No. I would say, whoever it is who's been made a Doctor of Music, can I possibly book an appointment?
I
had a Doctor of Music with Den.
Yes.
You think Dennis again, do you think? Dennis
I don't think so. I've gone off Den a bit.
Who do you think?
Probably one thing and another.
Who do you think, then?
I don't think John is worth it. I reckon, it's got to be Ian.
Yeah. I think it's
Ian. Well, he sings sort of slightly more in tune than any of us.
Yeah. I don't know,
must
Ian.
Be indicative.
Who do you
indicative?
Think? Who do you
oh,
think
I'm convinced it's you, Steve.
Me?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh,
why?
Why? You
have,
you
Tell
have,
me why.
Well, I mean, you have all the qualifications, nay more.
Yeah, 50 years in broadcasting.
Yeah. Dennis, who
the
do you think? The
compliat musician.
Who do you think is the Doctor of Music now, Dennis? Come on.
I don't know, but as I say, all I want, if you could give me some ointment for my voice, I think it's Ian. I really do. I don't think they can give you a doctorate for Nicola, for heaven's sake. You've got to do a bit.
Nor do I. The one who spoke less than the truth was Dr. Ian Wallace.
Yes.
Upon... Upon whom it was set.
I claim a bonus mark. I got him.
Yeah. I got him. No marks for this round, because we all do anyway. But it was conferred at St Andrews University. You went up there to receive it, did you not? Did you make a speech in Latin?
I didn't, yes. The degree was conferred in Latin speech, but they read out a laureation address about... the reasons that they had worked out in their own mind why they should be so generous to me. That was in English, so that I could understand it. And then I had to make a speech in the evening, and they had asked if I would sing a song at the end, because one or two other singers in previous times had replied to the toast of the honorary graduates and sung a song. My colleague, the late Richard Lewis, for one. And so I said, yes, but I thought, what can this be? They'd said that Richard had sung a Welsh folk song and that it had been very moving. And I thought, well, perhaps something a little different from me. And very luckily, the headmistress of our local independent school here in London had, in a totally different context 2 years ago, given me a translation of the hippopotamus song into Latin. And so I sang a verse and chorus of that, and having finished the Latin version of it, said to them, all together now.
What is the chorus? Just the chorus in
well,
Latin.
The chorus starts, the word for mud
is the word you're looking
is
for.
Lutum. So the chorus goes, if I can remember it, Lutum, lutum, pulcherimum, lutum, veni, o veni, mecum ablutum.
I must say, lutum is dead right, isn't it?
My favourite line actually came in the verse, which was, tunc hippopotamus, hoc non ignoramus.
Oh, yes. I can manage that too. Black Dyke Mills Band is the name I've known all my life. At Alexander Palace in 1938, I saw them win the National Brass Band Championship. Or was it Munn and Felton's, or Foden's, or Briggs and Restrick? Anyway, whichever it was, here is Black Dyke Mills Band. John, generations of my ancestors knew this tune as their own, Bladen Races. But they might not have been able to say what the solo instrument is. Not before 1843, anyway. Invented in Weimar in about 1843 and known at first as... Do you know what it was, the instrument?
I would have thought it was a sax horn of some sort.
No, no. It was originally...
A euphonion?
Yes. Originally it's known as the euphonion, but the euphonium. The player there was John Clough of the Black Dyke Band. Frank, which instrument is featured on this track?
Yes, the cornet,
played by Jim Shepherd there. Ian, the exact name, please, of this instrument.
Thank you.
can I just say, Steve, that brass band music played with that skill is a wonderful noise.
Wasn't that a lovely sound?
Absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
Well, that gives me great nostalgia to hear that, because once a year at one time I used to go to Manchester to sing in a concert for Harry Mortimer at the end of the brass band championships there. And the concert in the evening when the contest was over and all the tension had gone and they played... The whole thing was a wonderful experience for me. And you asked what that instrument was.
The exact instrument.
Well, that is a high cornet. I think it's the soprano cornet.
That's right, soprano cornet. Played, I thought, heavenly.
Oh, beautiful.
By David Hurst of Black Dyke. Dennis, what's the solo instrument here playing the Ash Grove?
I would venture it's a trombone.
Yeah, that's right. Played by Frank Berry. And here's a question for the audience, or rather just for the male members of the audience. When it's over, tell me, what tune is this? Thank you. That's why I asked only the gentleman. But yes, Jerusalem. That's right. I think a little singing would not go amiss as we end this edition of My Music. So first, over to Frank.
Down the road, and away we went, Polly, with a step so jolly, I knew she'd win. Down the road, the pace was killing, but the mare was willing for a lightning spin. All the rest were licked, and might as well have ne'er been born. Whoa, whoa, mare, burnt your little bit of corn.
John, the song is a bit unusual, isn't it, John?
It's one of Clara Butt's lighter songs.
Right.
A ferryman to marketing, she bought a little fish. She put it in a crystal bowl upon a golden dish. All day she sat in wonderment and watched its silver gleam. And then she gently took it up and slipped it in a stream. A fairy went to marketing, she bought a winter gown, all stitched about with gossamer and lined with thistledown. She wore it all the afternoon with prancing and delight, then gave it to a little frog to keep him warm at night. A fairy went to marketing, she bought a gentle mouse to take her tiny messages, to keep her tiny house. All day she kept its busy feet patting to and fro, and then she kissed its silken ears, thanked it, and let it go.
What is to become of us all?
A song from Dennis. One day she left her village, her mother said, "Dear Nell," but we'll let him tell it.
On the day she left her village, her dear mother whispered, "Nell, take this piece of bread and dripping and your fare. And remember, when in London, though you're just a servant girl, you're a blonde, the sort that gentlemen ensnare. With your youth and fatal beauty, when you get to Waterloo, there'll be crowds of dukes and millionaires all waiting there for you. But heaven will protect an honest girl, an angel will guard you, little Nell. When those rich men tempt you, Nelly, with their sparkling Moselle, say nay, nay, and do be very careful. And if some old bloated blasé roué swell says I'll kiss you, we're alone in this hotel, breathe a prayer, he will not do it. And then biff him with the cruet. And heaven will protect him on his gel.
Heaven protecting an honest gel. But whether that's true for girls in Tonga, only Ian can tell us.
Oh, it's hard to say, Pulima, Kitty, Luca, Chi-Chi-Chi. But in Tonga, that means no. If I ever have the money, 'tis to Tonga I shall go. For each lovely Tongan maiden there will gladly make a date. But by the time she said, Hulima, Kitiluka, Chi-chi-chi, it is usually too late.
On that note, we leave you with a victory this week for, yes, Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music with John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.